Hey again, everybody. This is John Harmon helping out Jeremy Jackson with the sports medicine update. We're blessed today to have with us Mike Hopper from Bishop Lynch High School. If you're a member of the secondary school's Facebook webpage, you probably have seen Mike post, what, once or twice
in
the last 5 minutes?
At least that's what they tell me. That's what Jim Berry and Christy Messina would tell you.
Yeah, Mike's very, involved with the webpage. I believe you're. Should I out you as a moderator, or everybody knows that?
I think everybody knows that. Everybody thinks I run the website, and that's not the case.
Yes.
Ken Keister, and Christy Messina, and myself, and I'm sorry, there's a few more that I don't remember off the top of my head. They've just asked, you know, Christy and myself to step in and kind of help out some, and so we do that. But I didn't start the page like a lot of people seem to think.
I gotcha. Well, I know it's a popular page because there's so much good information out there. And, it's a great resource for athletic trainers, especially at the secondary level, to get ideas, get more information, see what's trending out there, and sometimes even just a vent to tell a silly story that they encountered that day.
Absolutely. We kind of look at that as our bar, you know, after work and things like that. Everybody's going to laugh because the irony of that is I don't drink, but they like to make fun of me for that one as well. But, you know, it's a way when we go home. For me, I go home to an empty apartment, but, you know, even for you, you go home to your wife or whatever, you go home to your significant other. Unless they're an athletic trainer, they don't really understand what we do.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's a way for us to communicate. It's a great way to network, right? Facebook, Twitter, whatever the case may be, there's a lot of networking to be done. And our profession, I mean, really is based on networking, I would say.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, I'm sure we don't have a monopoly on that in our profession, but
absolutely.
Athletic trainers are just we're opponents on the field, but we're also part of a certain team on the field as well. You know, when
we're
at a football game together, I've got your back, you've got my back. We're obviously on separate sidelines, but we've got our own little tertiary team there, if you will, if you want to think of it like that. So, we're all in it together, and being able to have a resource either at school, if you're blessed enough to be able to check Facebook at school, or when you get home, or whatever, you know, having a resource to reach out to is awesome. One second real quick. So I'm gonna take a second to give a little publicity real quick to Frio Hydration. We're at the Frio Hydration booth right now. Robbie McFarland, I think, knows the owner pretty well.
I'm just trying to get my man Mike over here. Stop hating on me all the time. Show me some love. So we had to coax him into, hey, come down to our booth. We're going to put you on TV.
And we should be Facebook Live right now on the G-Hats website, G-Hats Facebook page as well. But, Robbie, if I could ask you a favor, make sure that I'm actually live right there.
Right,
I think I started it, but I don't know that I actually officially started it or not.
Man.
Are we?
Oh.
Did I not start it yet?
Well, we have to start all over.
Did I not hit record?
Now you're live.
Now we're live. Now, no, but
we're still recording.
We're still recording here for the podcast.
Oh, okay.
So that's good. We just weren't officially Facebook Live. So, want to make sure we give out, now that we're on Facebook Live as well, give out a little love to Frio Hydration and Robbie McFarland and the McFarland fam.
Hey, what is it, Archbishop High School, Dallas? y'all buying 10 units? You didn't know? I'm kidding. This is my man right here.
My coaches would think that I could just have that approval to just do whatever I want like that.
I thought you did have that approval. I don't know, man.
According to Jim Berry, I just go to the Pope and I get whatever I want from the Pope, but I don't believe that's true either.
Hey, from what I heard, you told me at church one time, God don't have a budget, okay? You know, y'all can get what you want, whatever you want. I'll send it home. You brought a truck?
I got a truck.
Okay.
Huh?
Hey, y'all heard
there
the
you
first.
Go.
My man's buying it all right
well,
now.
Whatever doesn't sell here at the booth is going home with him.
Yeah. Yeah. That's it. Simple as that, right? Just cut the check.
Yeah, yeah, just cut the check. We'll see how that works out.
So if anybody is actually watching on Facebook right now, we're here with Mike Hopper at Bishop Lynch High School, I believe.
Yes.
Correct?
Yes.
Okay. And we just kind of started talking about 5 minutes ago about the Facebook page, Secondary School Athletic Training Facebook page, and what a good resource it is, and how blessed we are in a, as a profession, secondary school athletic trainers, to be a part of it. Are there athletic trainers not secondary setting that are members of this page that you know of?
Yeah, we have a lot of members from the college level, some community college athletic trainers, some smaller college, you know, athletic trainers, some other athletic trainers who maybe have left the secondary school setting or just the traditional setting in general. You know, we just had, you guys just had Jared. Wow, I'm going to get smacked for this one, too. But Jared was just on from Donjoy, you know, and he's in the group. And there's a couple athletic trainers from Donjoy that are in the group, a couple people from Kramer, things like that. And we kind of looked at this group as being, you know, originally it was secondary schools athletic trainers, but kind of expanded a little bit to those individuals that secondary schools sports medicine is important to them. Donjoy, Kramer, you know, big companies like that that are important for us as a profession and important for us on a day-to-day basis, things like that.
Well, it's certainly an awesome page on Facebook. If you're not a member of it, please follow it. Not sure if you have to approve following it.
So the administrators do go in and approve it, but basically, and what I'll say there is make sure that your profile, your public profile, actually says something about athletic training, because otherwise we won't approve it. And we get quite a bit of people trying to join on a daily basis. Some are athletic trainers, and we get a lot of spam accounts. It's the internet, so that's the way that goes.
Absolutely. Well, check it out if you haven't already. Doesn't matter. We're kind of based in Texas, but and I think a lot of the athletic trainers that are on it are based in Texas, but it is not a Texas thing. Please make sure that is noted as well. I think that's come up before as well, that it's not just a Texas.
There's a lot of people get upset. There's a lot of people get upset about the Texas athletic trainers on there, and you know, it's. I mean, I came out of Southern Illinois. I worked at a PT clinic for 3 years, 3.5 years as a professional, 7 years total. And I understand a lot of the issues that other athletic trainers across the country are having. You know, being at a high school where I was at the school 12 hours a week, I had a budget of next to nothing, doing everything, you know, not doing any rehab at school, all these issues that so many people have across the country. I understand where they're coming from. I'm very fortunate, very blessed to be where I'm at now, where we have a lot more resources than I've had previously in my career. And even what I have is small compared to some of the other high schools in the area.
Oh, no, I completely understand it. You know, it's for those of you that are not from Texas, athletics in the state of Texas at the secondary school level is pretty much everything you've heard it is. I'm a native of East Tennessee, and I had no clue when I moved to the state of Texas that it was going to be what it is. And, you know, Friday Night Lights, now they do take some liberties with some things in those programs, but, you know, there's it's based in truth. It's rooted in truth. So
absolutely.
You know, we're just very blessed that the state of Texas doesn't put those resources just into athletics and the sports themselves, that they oftentimes will make a priority out of sports medicine and athletic training as well. We're blessed at Dickinson that our administration sees the benefit. I know that Bishop Lynch, you all are blessed with the same.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean we always get everything we ask for, but we certainly have the support to ask for it at the very least.
Absolutely, absolutely. We have... I like to compare what we do like a Division II college. I mean, with the resources, for us being in TAPS rather than UIL, we actually end up doing a lot of travel in the playoffs, things like that. Our physician support's amazing. We have a doctor basically on the sideline every Friday night. Doesn't matter where in the state or sometimes the country we're even at.
Wow.
We all have a doctor with us. Our orthopedic surgeon traveled to Chicago with us in 2014 when we went up and played Fenwick High School.
Wow.
And he flew up and met us at the game Saturday morning, you know, Saturday afternoon. And you know, where do you see that? You don't, I mean, you don't see that at a lot of colleges.
Right.
You know?
You're absolutely right.
And things like that. And just the ability to get the things we need to do our jobs that we have to be able to do. You know, we operate in the ideal world. I know that, you know. But we're doing what we can for our kids, and that's the best thing we got to look at.
Well, and at Dickinson, and I'm not trying to make this about us, but at Dickinson, we are blessed in that the expectation is that whatever sport or whatever program you're in charge of, whether it's dance, whether it's football, whether it's sports medicine, athletic training, whether it's the chess team, that you're going to do everything you can to make your program better.
Absolutely.
And part of that is asking for things to improve your program.
Right.
Whether it's personnel, whether it's, fixed asset goods, whether it's, you know, a new athletic training room, whatever. We do what we can to improve our program so that we can better take care of our kids.
Right. We had a new school president come in after my first year at BL, and his mantra has been to we want to be the school that other schools want to be. No matter what, again, what program that is, our football team, our basketball team, our choir, our marching band, our sports medicine, our healthcare team, you know, things like that. And we've been given the resources and support to reach those goals, right? You know, we have a great relationship with our school nurse and the two athletic trainers and the school nurse, and again, our team doctors, our physical therapists that we work with, things like that. Everybody's all together. You know, it's all about the Friars. It's all about our kids and taking care of our kids, and not about, well, it's about the athletic trainers. It's about the school nurse. It's about the PTs. It's about the doctors having control. It's none of that. It's about taking care of our kids and putting the kids first, like we should be doing.
Well, everybody wins in that situation.
Absolutely.
So, you know, why not spread that love? Why not let everybody be a part of it? Bishop Lynch, was that your first job in Texas?
First job in Texas.
Okay, very good. And you've been in there how long now?
Just finished my third school year at Bishop Lynch.
Fantastic. So still a relatively new transplant to the big state.
Absolutely.
And for those of you listening and watching out there, I do know that Texas is not the biggest state in the union. I know that. It's a little inside joke with my friends that certainly won't be watching this. So, we're certainly glad to have you in Texas now. Glad that you are here talking to us. And this probably is not going to be a very structured, organized talk today.
Sure.
Even though we've already spoken for about 13 minutes. I do not do this professionally. Jeremy technically doesn't do it professionally, but he's got a lot more experience than me. He said just hit the record button twice and try not to say So that's what I'm trying to do, is hit the record button twice and try not to say. Yet I still say a lot. So just bear with me out there. So tell me some of the stuff that you're passionate about. You said earlier pediatric sports medicine.
Obviously. Yeah, so I have a master's degree in pediatric sports medicine from the University of South Florida, Morsani College of Medicine, one of the only programs in a college of medicine in the country, both at the entry level. They've now moved to an entry level master's at South Florida, as well as the post professional program, which is what I completed.
They have both. Fantastic.
They have both. They converted their undergraduate program to a entry level master's. I don't know, a year and a half ago.
Is it the combined, like, 3-2? You graduate in 5 years with. I know some master's programs are going to a 3-2, where it's you get 3 years for your undergrad, 2 years for your master's,
right,
and you graduate officially with both.
Yeah, I'm not sure on that.
Gotcha.
I'm not sure on that. But I was a part of the second class at USF in this post-professional program, and technically my degree says medical sciences on it. Technically it says athletic training, but the focus was on pediatric sports medicine. And they've adjusted that focus a little bit. I believe they've now removed the medical sciences tag. Now it's advanced athletic training, and they talk about sudden death in athletics. And it's one of those programs that when I found it, I figured out that's what I wanted to do. Originally, I wanted to work college football. Coming out of college, I'm going, what else is there to do, right?
And well, that's where all the best athletic trainers are, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
For my friends out there that work college football, I don't mean that way.
Okay. But I actually had an offer to go be a graduate assistant working college football, and I had turned it down right out of college and took about a year off, and I was working for a PT clinic doing outreach at a high school. And what I found out was I actually liked the high school environment. As little experience as I got in that environment because of the contracts and things like that, I enjoyed working with those high school kids. And what I told my clinical coordinator from college was they were no longer just high school kids. They were my kids.
Right.
Right. And the relationships that we were able to build led me to when I found this program at USF, and it was an online program, and I loved it. 2 years. Then I also surprised people. We had to do a capstone project, and my capstone project was doing high school cheerleading injuries and the use of the functional movement screen.
Oh.
Well, when I was in high school, the cheerleaders were just in the way, right? Yeah. I was a football player. I was a basketball player. Cheerleaders were just in the way. And I got in trouble at home a lot because my sister was a high school cheerleader. She's now a cheerleading coach. So when I started talking about cheerleading stats and injury stats, she's going, okay, who are you? Because what in the world just happened, right? And so like I said, I fell in love with the high school setting, working with the high school kids. Many of these kids, they've never been injured before. And so working through that process, right? And they're just so much more appreciative of what we're able to provide than what I found at the college level, where it was expected that, well, you're here to take care of me, so do your job, mm-hmm. right? And obviously we see that sometimes at the high school level too, but many of those kids are so much more appreciative, and the parents are so much more appreciative, obviously.
Absolutely. So, master's in pediatric sports medicine.
Correct.
Went and worked for a year at the high school level, and realized that was your calling at that point in time.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay. Well, you know, it's I didn't take a similar path, but kind of a similar path.
Uh-huh.
I graduated with my undergrad from a tiny little Division II school in Greenville, Tennessee that no one's ever heard of, Tusculum College, go Pioneers. And when I enrolled there, we had 497 students total. It was ridiculously small, but everybody was an athlete.
Uh-huh.
So I graduated from there and took a graduate assistant position at the University of Texas. And at the time, thought a lot of myself. Thought that, you know, well, I'm a graduate assistant at the University of Texas, and that's, you know, to be an athletic trainer is to work college or professional level. So that's what I'm going to do because I'm that good of an athletic trainer. I need to stay there.
Sure.
My humbling moment, however, was when I interviewed for positions at the college level and got offered one of them, and I'm not going to name who, and they offered me a starting salary of $24,000 a year as the assistant. And that's just not doable
right.
in our profession.
Right.
You know, when you graduate with student loans and have a car payment and, you know, need to eat, you just can't do that. So started looking at high schools in the state of Texas, and boy, there's quite a jump to be at the high school level.
Sure.
And you know, the crazy part, a good friend of mine, I mentioned before that I was too good of an athletic trainer to work at the high school level because I was very biased at the time. And he said, well, let me ask you this. At the University of Texas, when your starting outside hitter sprains your finger, what do you do? Well, you know, I get her to the doctor. We take an X-ray. We maybe get an MRI. You know, if I need to tape it, I'll tape it. You know, we do physical therapy. You know, all this kind of. I just outlined everything. You know, if you need a knee brace, what do? I call my orthotist, and they come fit her. And you know, if it breaks, you call the orthotist. They come fix it. And you know, if you're doing physical therapy, you clear it through the physical therapist in the training room, and then you do that with them. And they kind of looked at me and said, okay, well, at the high school level, you better know that's not a broken ankle.
Right.
You better be sure of it. You know, if your gator breaks down, you don't call maintenance, you fix it. You know, if, now our maintenance department, we can call them, they're awesome. But you better be sure, you better be a little bit more rounded of an athletic trainer at the secondary level because you do, you know, have to wear a lot of different hats. And compound that with the fact that, you know, the starting pay was significantly higher. So that's what personally brought me to the secondary level in the state of Texas, and why I'm glad to be here. There are a lot more benefits to it than just that, but you know, it is a true calling.
Yeah, for sure. You know, we get people. I went home last weekend for my parents' 40th anniversary. They've been married for 40 years, and that's unbelievable. You know, and I come from a background of my dad's been a high school coach for 40-plus years, so being in that environment is great. And what I also found was I grew up around high school athletes, so really that is where I fit really well. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's – everybody asks me, well, what's your next step? Where do you go from here? Do you go to college? Do you go to big high school? Do you go to pro sports? What do you do? And to me, it's – well, for one, my answer is there's only really about one place I can go to make more money, and that's a public high school here in Texas, you know, compared to what I make now.
Right.
And I know some of the colleges are finally getting some of those jobs better. There's some great jobs out there right now at the college level, but, you know, I'm going, well, why would I? You know, the environment that I have right now – why would I? And but it's things like that, and you know, you fall in love with where you're at, and I got that community at BL, and it's fantastic that we are able to do what we do. And you know, but high school, I mean, I love the high school setting, and I don't see myself leaving it.
Well, you know, you've certainly established yourself at Bishop Lynch as someone who cares about the kids and who they turn to and I'm assuming turn to first. Oftentimes before they go see their own physician, they come to you, and that's probably the way it needs to be. That's probably what you want.
And we see our kids, we see faculty, we see staff members, we see their kids.
Yep.
You know, I mean, a lot of athletic trainers can tell you that. You know, you got these kids coming in here. And really, I mean, we got a great team doctor. Our team doctor's office won't see a staff member's kid until they've seen us, you know, that kind of a thing. And so we've had a handful of junior high kids or middle school kids in the athletic training room over the last few months. And it's great, you know, being able to also start their understanding of what we do as a profession that much earlier too.
Absolutely.
You know, and for their parents to trust us to come in and see us and things like that is great. And again, it all goes back to our relationships.
Absolutely. We're talking to Sandy Miller earlier with Stephen F. Austin, and he mentioned the two backbones of if he could comprise you know, shrink everything in his career down to two principles. What he talked about was hard work, just, you know, not killing yourself, but when you're on work time, you're on work time, and you're giving everything you got, and building personal relationships. And you know, if you can do those things, you'll be successful in this field. You know, figuring out how to do a Lockman's test, you'll get there, you know.
Right.
But as a, you know, the two bits of advice he'd give new grads are you know, work your tail off. Don't think that because, you know, you only work 25 hours in your undergrad program or your grad program or whatever, that when you get out in the real world, it's going to stay the same. You work till the job's done, and build positive personal relationships with the people that you encounter.
Yeah, I've had a lot of people talk, athletic trainers, coaches in general, talk about really, you know, the two people that you want to get to know and take care of at the school setting, in the high school setting, your administrative assistants and your custodians. Yes, those are very important people to get to know and, you know, get along with well. But security staff, your school nurse, like I said, your business office, your administrators, you know,
no doubt.
Those people, they got to know what you're doing. You know, and again, school nurse, emergency or security staff, emergency action plan.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if my security's not around and I got to call an ambulance, how's that ambulance getting onto the field? Because guess what? Everything we have is locked up. So we got to call security to get out there and get things opened up for us. You know, things like that. You know, directing the ambulance onto the property and where to go and things like that. So if we don't have that security staff, we have a big hole in our emergency action plan, right? You know, again, talking to our school nurse, we talk to her on a daily basis. five or six times a day, you know. And it's important that we have a really good relationship with her, right? And then, again, our administrative assistants and people like that. Yes, it's very important that we get to know them and have good relationships with them. And, you know, like I said, our administrators, I feel like I have a pretty good relationship with most of them, too. You know, and when they start talking about what you need, you've gotten somewhere.
Absolutely.
You know, because now it's not me asking for it. It's not me begging for it. But when administrators or other coaches or whoever is saying, well, they need this in sports medicine, it holds a lot more weight for the decision makers. You know, and so having those relationships is very important.
Absolutely. Let's switch gears a little bit here.
Okay.
And let's talk. You brought up earlier about the AT talk. And I'm not going to try to say what it is or what it isn't. I'm just going to turn it over to you. Tell us more about the AT Talk.
So AT Talk is a Twitter discussion that we have once a month, last Sunday of the month, 8 p.m. Central Time. AT Talk started in January of 2014, I believe, and Christy Messina, who's the co-host on there with me, she will make sure and let me know if I'm wrong. She normally does. And basically, we're looking for a way to network and a way for us to connect across the country, kind of like that secondary schools group we talked about earlier, except this one we're doing in 140 characters on Twitter. And it's an hour, and it's a lot. It's a very fast-paced conversation. And we actually got started. We were blown away with the response we got originally, but it happened to come out. We started that talk right when the white paper about the entry-level masters came out. So that topic absolutely exploded. We had another topic. We did emergency action plans in March. Again, that was March of 14, I believe, during National Athletic Training Month. It exploded. We actually did a second Sunday night for that one and just continued the conversation. That one also happened to be the same month that Richard Peverly collapsed for the Dallas Stars. And in that same week, Araldis Chapman took a line drive to the head at spring training out in Arizona. Mm-hmm. You know, you look at the emergency action plans that those organizations have put in place. I believe he was with the Reds at that point. Chapman was, I think. And then the Stars, obviously, with Peverly and what they did to respond. And we're going, okay, how do we replicate that at the secondary schools level? Because those kids deserve that same exact treatment. We just have to find ways to provide it. So we are actually coming up. We have another talk Sunday night.
Oh, wow.
And I don't know what we're going to talk about yet. Probably a lot about the NATA conversation.
Who sets the topics? Is it you and Christy?
Christy and I.
Okay.
Typically set the topics. Typically, I will get a text message on Thursday or Friday going, what are we talking about this month? We're not exactly the most well-organized with it. We've tried to be more organized. But at the same time, we've actually missed months completely where we don't even realize that, hey, it's the last Sunday of the month, and we're going, oops. You know, and again, you got to remember that we're both athletic trainers here in Texas and at relatively big schools and very busy schools, and so we have those times where it slips our mind, but we really do enjoy the conversation. It's been great to get to know people. You know, you and I were talking earlier before we got on here, and you know, your comment was how many people walk up to you and go, hey, you're Mike Hopper, and I'm going, well, yes. And you know, that's all day long. But you know, being able to put faces to names is great. You know, and being able to relate to people.
Absolutely. Well, again, it goes back to personal relationships.
Personal relationships.
You know, building those relationships. So Sandy Mueller might be onto something there. That might be why he's been successful.
Sure.
Last Sunday of the month, 8 o'clock Central Time.
8 o'clock Central Time.
AT Talk on Twitter.
On Twitter. So go on Twitter, hashtag AT Talk. You can search that, and you can find that whole you know, the whole discussion there. I use TweetDeck. It's a program that I've downloaded onto my computer that I can have multiple windows open and do all kinds of stuff that way. And it helps me follow the conversation better. But, I mean, you can simply do it from your phone, your iPad, your computer, just by searching for AT Talk.
Okay, so check out AT Talk then, last Sunday of the month, 8 o'clock Central, get in on the conversation. Switching gears again.
Okay.
You got time? You want to keep talking? We good?
We talk all day. I'm good.
All day. Let's do this.
That's why they like me on Twitter, is I'm limited to 140 characters.
There you go. There you go. I bet my I bet my wife would like that as well, but she can't get 140 characters out of me when I say things verbally. So I don't know. Maybe I'd talk more on Twitter if she gave that a shot. Kind of, I guess, along the lines of your pediatric sports med masters, you're very passionate about sudden cardiac arrest, aren't you?
Sudden cardiac arrest is very important to us. And fortunately, again, I have the school support to do it. We've added 7 AEDs in the 3 years I've been there. And, you know, I don't really know where that came from, because when I moved to BL, yes, I had CPR certification, since that's kind of required in our profession, you know, but CPR was a requirement, and that's really the extent of it, right? Since then, I've become a CPR instructor. Both, actually, our school nurse, myself, and my old assistant were all CPR instructors. My new assistant will become a CPR instructor this summer. And so we got going there. I have a few friends that I know who have lost kids. You know, they've lost their child to sudden cardiac arrest for various reasons. And for whatever reason, that sparked an inspiration for me. We've become very passionate about that, what we do at our school. Basically, we don't want to be another stat, you know, sometimes our school president and I kind of joke a little bit about some of the stuff that we do, is I'm simply trying to keep him off the news. You know, bad PR is not good PR. Sometimes they say that any PR is good PR. Well, that's not the case. And if we're making the news, that's probably not a good thing in a lot of cases. And, you know, so we've gotten started with our cardiac program. Currently, all of our coaches are CPR certified. That's state requirements. Mm-hmm. Both UIL and TAPS do require that. But we've taken that a step further, in that 95% of our school staff are CPR certified at Bishop Lynch. And we have like 140, 150 employees, and literally there's less than 10 who do not have CPR training. And we'll get them in August when they come back around. I know who they are, and we will get them, okay?
We know who you are.
And again, that comes back to buy-in from administration. I like to tell the story, our school president wasn't able to attend CPR training last year when we did it during the teacher in services, and he emailed the school nurse and I both asking what he needed to do to get CPR certified, because he didn't want to hold us back from that. And so he actually came into my sports medicine class that I teach, and we did CPR training in there, you know. But that's how important it is to our administration. That's how important it is to us, right? And so we think it's vitally important, and we like to be the person, or the school who was ready for it when it was going to happen. Because like Mr. Reebok told the school nurse and I back in December, it's not a matter of if, it is a matter of when. We know that sudden cardiac arrest happens once every 3 days in American schools, you know, and there was a study just came out recently, 50% of employees do not know where the AED is at the employment place. And the highest industry that had the best record was schools at 61%. You know, and I sent that email out to all of our teachers and our faculty and staff and everybody, and I said I would like to think that our number is a lot higher than 50% for sure, and higher than 61%, right? And one of the teachers emailed me back, and she goes, well, I think if you did a poll, it would probably be close to 100%, as it should, you know. And, you know, like I said, because we have that training, and I know that sometimes they probably get tired of some of my emails, but it is important, you know. And we go back to Mr. Reebok told us it was a matter of if, not a matter, or a matter of when, rather than a matter of if. And less than 2 months later, we had a sudden cardiac arrest event on campus. And we saved the man's life, you know. And everything worked like clockwork. You know, we had a nurse and a nursing student come out of the stands. and actually beat the coach and I there. And one of our coaches is a retired firefighter and paramedic, and we had CPR was starting under a minute. The AED, we had an administrator chased down and brought back to me, and it was applied in under 2 minutes. The guy was conscious at 6 minutes, and EMS arrived at 8 minutes.
Wow.
But again, we talk about if we wait for EMS, that individual is probably dead. You know, EMS does great things, but one of the things they can't do is get there that much faster.
Right.
You know, their response time is really out of their control in many cases. And we know that sudden cardiac arrest, we have to have something happening within that first 2 to 3 minute window. And so to be able to have CPR started immediately and the AED applied immediately, fortunately the AED didn't actually shock, but CPR saved the man's life.
Wow.
You know, and to know that the plan we had put in place was a solid plan, right? And, you know, now we have our story of here's why we do what we do, and here's why we're able to do what we do, you know? I made it almost 7 years without ever having to do it. And, you know, I hope to go at least that long, if not longer, right?
Sure.
But, you know, I wish that on nobody, you know, obviously. You know, we want to, you don't want to see that. Mm-hmm. And then I've had a lot of faculty come back and go, so how long is our CPR certification good for? I go, well, it's good for 2 years. You know, it's American Heart Association. It's good for 2 years. But I said, if you want to come in and sit in on the class again this fall, more power to you, right? You know, and I've started teaching. Again, I teach it in my sports medicine class. We're starting to teach it in our health classes. And I had a girl come up to me and go, well, I already have CPR training. Yeah, so I told her, I said, look, you never turn down the opportunity to practice your CPR.
Absolutely.
You know, when we had our incident happen back in February, that week I had taught CPR in class, so I had practiced it. We had school nurse and I had just gone to a continuing education course through the Andrews Institute out of Plano for sudden cardiac arrest, talking about Project Atom and AEDs and secondary prevention. And we had just gotten in 3 brand new cardiac science G5 AEDs, literally all within a 10-day period. You know, and you're going, wow. You know, to have all of that happen all at once like that, you know. And but you never turn down the opportunity to practice CPR.
Well, too often, I would imagine, people only become passionate about something when they've experienced a loss.
Sure.
To urge them to become passionate about it.
Right.
So that you're carrying this torch, making it known, is a wonderful thing because you've been fortunate enough not to have lost.
Sure.
And yet you're still pushing forward with as much passion as you are. This gentleman's life, to a large degree, has to be owed to all the countless hours that you and others have put into training and rehearsing and what are we going to do with this? Well, what if that? You know, and I'm sure he's extremely grateful for all that time you and everyone has put in.
Sure.
Ironically, I have somewhat of a similar story. So we have a great relationship with our director of EMS in Dickinson, Derek Hunt, and he does a wonderful job. He's a wonderful man. Well, we called him 1 year and said, hey, you know, listen, we'd like to meet with you. Actually, I think he might have reached out to us and said, hey, I'd like to sit down with you all entering football season because there's always going to be something that pops up. I want to make sure that we're on the same page with what you expect of us and that you're on the same page with what our expectations are. So we met and outlined as many scenarios as we could outline, including what are we going to do if we have to bring a copter in? How are we going to evac someone out like that? And he said we rehearsed several scenarios, and I remember the last thing we said was, "Hey, appreciate you coming out. We're never going to have to do this." Well, famous last words,
famous
right?
Famous last words.
Absolutely. So about game 3, maybe the second home game we had that season. Kid goes down with a concussion. Well, kid sustains a concussion.
Sure.
Did not report it. Had no visible signs on the field till he got hit in the head again.
Right.
And comes off the field. Well, one of our other athletic trainers took a look at him and said, well, something's not right with this kid. Called me over. We got our physician over. And about the time we all kind of converged on this kid at the same time, he goes down.
Yeah.
And it was obvious, you know, what our scenario was. So the physician called for EMS, paramedics to come over, but he immediately called for Life Flight to be brought in. It went like clockwork. The exact thing was supposed to happen happened, and we are so blessed that we actually rehearsed this.
Wow.
So,
wow.
You know, it's crazy how timing sometimes works. It's crazy how, you know, everybody certainly believes, you know, certainly believes in what they believe in, but it's amazing how, in my experience, God puts things in front of you, prepares you for what you're fixing to endure. So we're very fortunate in that situation.
My coach, as you talk about the helicopter, I got a handful of football coaches. They think that's my dream, is to get to call the helicopter in. And I'm going, no, I'm good. You know, and after our first year at BL, we had 4 EMS calls that year. And one of my coaches joked that I had I was getting kickbacks from EMS. And I'm going, okay, if I'm getting kickbacks, don't you think I'd have the ambulance sitting out here on Friday nights? You know, my first 2 years, we didn't have that. And we've been able to get that in my third year. We were able to get that. And, again, you know, you bring the paperwork together. We had my proposal, right? We had letters from each of our 2 primary doctors, our primary care doctor and orthopedic surgeon, in support of EMS. And then I had 2 position statements from the NATA of why this was best practices to have EMS on the, you know, on the field on Friday nights. It was 18 pages, and I wasn't asking for that much money, and it's 18 pages, and, you know, and the school approved it, and they go, yeah, that seems to make a lot of sense to us, you know. And so again, we hope to never have to use it, but now we have it.
You have a dedicated unit right there.
We have a dedicated
unit
for
whatever may come up. You're not waiting on a response time, arrival time, any of that kind of stuff. You have it there.
I have it there, and they're sitting right there. They're sitting on my golf cart right there, ready to go. And you know, again, we hope to never use them. They're great. We have a great relationship again with Dallas Fire Department, who is in, you know, we're in their call area. They send out a special events unit for us, and we just have a great relationship with them. They understand what we do. You know, that's something that's taken a little bit of time, getting EMS to understand what we do as athletic trainers. When we call EMS, they show up, we got the athletic trainers there, we got our school nurse there, whatever the case may be, they understand we already have stuff going on, right? You know,
do you generally get the same paramedics every game?
Not necessarily, no. Unfortunately not. We're hoping over time that will evolve.
We are blessed to have so Troy comes and works pretty much all of our home games.
Yeah.
Mostly because he's such a big football fan.
Sure.
And
sure.
He's ingrained in our community, so he calls every home game right from the get-go. I'm working every one. Now, he may have a rotating schedule of others with him.
Sure.
That's okay. But we always know we can go to Troy should we need something. So,
right.
You know, we're blessed in that. Hopefully you can develop that type of relationship as well where someone wants to come and work that every single Friday night.
Yeah, we've got even the special events coordinator from the fire department, the lieutenant, he goes, I should have signed up for some of these. He goes, it's pretty, you know, he goes, it's unbelievable what you have out here. And the first time, that first year, we had a couple issues with paramedics, you know, but our paramedics have now figured out that, like I said, when they show up, it's not like a regular EMS call. You know, when they show up on our campus, healthcare is already being provided, whether that's through our school nurse or whether that's through the athletic trainers. And so they come in and the communication takes place and we just go, you know. The first time I know we had, you know, we're spine boarding a kid and, you know, the paramedic got all upset about when we told him that, well, we're not worried about a concussion right now, you know, whatever. And he goes, well, at some point it should be. Well, that's great. He's leaving on a piece of plastic at this point to rule out a neck injury. We'll worry about the concussion later. Right. He's conscious. He's coherent. He's talking to us. You know, we got that part under control. And but since then, when we've had concussions pop up and you know, we've gone to spine board, whatever, EMS rolls in. All right, here's what we got. Okay, here's the board. Here's this. When you're ready, we're ready to go. And get them on the board, get them in the ambulance and out the door, you know. And so it does. It works like clockwork, right? Mm-hmm. And we generally have pretty good response time. You know, we were in the school nurse's office one day. We actually had two EMS calls in a day before noon.
We've had days like that as well.
One was athletics related and one was lunch related. And this girl comes in and told us she was allergic to something, and that was about all she got out. And we quickly got her to a bed, and my assistant got on the phone with 911, and the school nurse and I got her back there, and the school nurse used the EpiPen. And I remember looking at my watch, and then I looked at my watch again when the paramedics walked in the door, and it was 9 minutes from the time we stuck the girl with the EpiPen to the time they walked in the room was 9 minutes, which means that really they had about a 6 minute response time, which is fantastic, you know. And so it's that type of situation. But again, everything just kind of clicked, and you know, everybody knew their role, kind of a thing, and so it's always beneficial when that takes place.
Absolutely. Well, we probably could continue to talk about whatever for the next hour or so, but I think we're going to go ahead and kind of call this now. We've been averaging about 30 to 45 minutes per segment, so we're at 46 now. We're going to go ahead and call it right now, as long as you're okay with that. So want to certainly thank Mike for being here. Thank you for all you're doing for the profession, for all you're doing for the kids in the state of Texas, both your own and the others visiting you. Certainly, keep up the AT talk, keep up keeping us in line on the secondary school site. I was proud today that I think I was the first one to post something about at the Florida LSU game yesterday. I guess a strength coach or something, a former coach, had to do CPR on a spectator
that,
or something.
Yeah.
I think I was the first one to get that on the secondary schools page. So pretty fired up. I started my day off well. So that usually doesn't happen. So again, thanks, Mike, for being here, for taking part of this. Thank you for all you do. And for today, that'll be it for the sports medicine broadcast. We're going to shut it down. I think the vendor area is about to be done, and that'll be it. So certainly want to thank Frio Hydration for having us here, and thank Jeremy for setting me up for this so I can my way through this all these interviews today. And thank you all 12 of you out there listening to me. If there were that many, I don't know. Really appreciate it.
Thanks, John. Appreciate it.
Take care.